we're coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can. In the Situation Room.
Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if I, anyone, try to put some on your spiritual plate and it don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to this Situation Room. It is indeed a plum pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited and delighted to have you this morning in the Situation Room. We hope and pray that things are going well for you and your family in your neck of the woods. We have a wonderful program for you today. Today is the day we focus in on our Sunday school. Yes, it's time again to study our Sunday school lesson. So go get your Sunday school book and go get your Bible and study along with us this morning as we study our Sunday school lesson. Our Sunday school lesson is taken this morning out of the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 45, verses 1 through 7, or verses 1 through 8. And then 10 through 15. Genesis chapter 45, verses 1 through 8, and it reads like this. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried and caused every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they was troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I'm Joseph, your brothers, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years has the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Verse 8, so now it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Verse 10, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children, and all thy flock and thy herds and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen. And ye shall hasten and bring down my father hither. And he fell on his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you and we praise you for who you are, the God who hears and you still answer prayers. Speak to our hearts now in a mighty way. For it's in Jesus' wonderful name we do pray. Amen. All right, let me get my Bible and get myself situated. Alrighty, alrighty. I went and got another Bible here. Genesis chapter 45, and our lesson this morning is entitled Reveal Love. Revealed Love. How Joseph went on and he revealed himself to his brothers. All right, our lesson again is taken out of the first book of the Bible, this book of Genesis that lays the foundation for us all here. It lays the foundation. If whatever you want to know about in life, for the most part, it's the foundation is laid in Genesis. If you want to know about family structure and the family, you go to Genesis. You go to Genesis. All right, you want to know about creation versus evolution, you go to Genesis. It's all about Genesis. And so we've been looking at this family. We've been looking at Joseph. In our last lesson, we saw Joseph was giving his brother the blues somewhat because he was accusing them of being spies in the land. And so in order to prove that they was not spies in the land, they had to bring back Benjamin. And they bought back Benjamin, and they was getting ready to go home. And Joseph played another trick on them. He put their money and stuff back in their bags, and then he put his cup, his silver cup, in Benjamin's sack. And now he done had him arrested, and he brought him back there to Egypt. And so all of that happened in Genesis 44, because when the scripture says, then Joseph could not restrain himself, you got to ask yourself, you know, then is a conjunction. Then it's just like a therefore. You have to ask yourself the question, what is it there for? And so this then goes with back up here in chapter 44. It goes back in the context of verse four, starting with verse 14 to the end of that chapter. You'll find that Judas, he pleaded for his brother, Judah. He pleaded for his brother, Benjamin, because that silver cup, Joseph's cup, was found in Benjamin's sack. And so he was going to keep Benjamin. He was going to arrest Benjamin. But Judah spoke up for him. and says, if we don't bring him home, it's just about gonna kill my daddy, because one of his sons is already dead, Joseph, and now this one here is gonna be dead. That's gonna kill him. And so that's why Joseph started crying. Verse number 1 in the text, it says, then Joseph could not restrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried. And really, he was wailing. It was not just a whimper. He was wailing. It was a major cry. And so when I outlined this passage, I said Joseph revelation, verses 1-4. The scripture said Joseph could not restrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, and he caused every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard him. That's why I was saying this wasn't just a little, you know, how sometimes a person just weep just a little bit. Remember the scripture talks about Jesus wept. Well, it wasn't so much that he was just really, really crying. It was just you could see tears coming down. And that's why everybody say Jesus wept. But this in here, Joseph was crying out. It was one of these, he was really crying. Yeah, he was crying. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I'm Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brothers could not answer to him, for they was troubled at his presence. Keep in mind, they thought that Joseph was dead. And they didn't recognize Joseph. When Joseph first saw them, Joseph recognized them. Now keep in mind, before Joseph entrusted himself back to his brothers, he put them through the ringer. He tested their character first to see had these brothers changed in it. And that just really broke his heart to see how Judah just spoke up for his brother. Keep in mind, Benjamin was his stepbrother. They didn't care about Joseph and Benjamin because they were, you know, children by Rachel. And then they really despised Joseph because Joseph had the coat of many colors and things like that. Then he had them dreams and what have. So they didn't care for him. They really didn't care for Benjamin. But by him showing his love for Benjamin and say, hey, take my place. Let Benjamin go and arrest me. Arrest me. Keep me here. Keep me in jail. But let Benjamin go. That really broke his heart. That broke his heart. But that let him know that these boys done changed. They are changing. That they done changed. They're not like they used to be. Because this would have been a plan. See, Joseph was trying to find out if he took Benjamin. And see, Joseph was just going to go on and take Benjamin away from them. He figured that they didn't want Benjamin just like they didn't want him. But that showed them that they cared about Benjamin. And they cared about their daddy. See, they didn't care about their daddy the first time. 17 years ago when Joseph was put in that pit. They didn't care about him. Actually, it was 19 years, almost 20 years now. But they didn't care about him. They didn't care about him when he was first put in the pit. They didn't care if their daddy was going to suffer. They were just thinking about their own selfish nature, and they just wanted to get rid of Joseph. And so this was a way for them to get rid of Benjamin. But this time they cared. They cared. And so Joseph revealed himself. He went on and quit playing with their mind. The test now was over. They done passed the test. They done passed the test. And listen, before you let folks come back in your life, you do need to test their character. You need to test their character out to make sure that they done really change. A lot of time, folks say they done change, and they ain't bit much done change. They still the same way they was when they left. And so, it's nothing wrong with testing their character. And so, go back through that from chapter 43 on to 40. Actually, to the end of the chapter, at the end of this book, you can see how Joseph dealt with his brothers. All right, let's go on a little bit further. So, verse 5 or verse 4 said, "And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he says, I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt." See, these brothers, they couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe it. And the thing that Joseph wanted to know more importantly, the first time that he talked with them, when they made mention that Benjamin was alive, he tested it out. Y'all go get him. Let me see him for myself. And he's asking the question, is my father yet alive? You've been talking about him. Now tell me the truth. Is he really alive? And they're going to have to go get him. They're going to go get him. And we're going to see about the plan, the arrangements. But I'm getting ahead of myself. But Joseph revelation. So Joseph revealed himself. You can just imagine. These guys were shocked, astonished. They was amazed that the brother that they thought that was dead is standing right in front of him. And he's the second most powerful man, not only in Egypt, but really in the world. Because the Egyptian kingdom was the most powerful kingdom at that time in the world. And so Joseph is the second most powerful man in the world. And Joseph said, "I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt." And so we have the revelation of Joseph. But then we have Joseph's explanation, verse 5 through 8. He says, "Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourself, that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years has the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your life by a great deliverance." And so Joseph said, this is the plan of God. This is the plan of God. He said, now don't go around being grievous or angry with yourself that you sold me. He said, because God sent me. Notice, they thought that they had just sold him, and they did. So Joseph said, don't be angry that you sold me, because you really didn't just sell me. God used that to send me. God sent me, ahead of you to prepare for your life, to save your life. And so Joseph is seeing here what theologians would call the providence of God. And what is providence? It's where God looks into the future and God makes preparation. He arranges things in the future for his people. And this is what he did. He sent Joseph ahead to make preparations for Jacob and his family, that they should be saved and delivered from this famine. Now, this is Now keep in mind, they had sold Joseph. Joseph was a young man. He was about 17 years of age. When he comes to the throne, he's about 34 years of age. And now it's 2 years later. It's 2 years later. You're looking at a man that's probably about 34 years old. 36 years old at this point in his life. And so, but they hadn't seen him for almost 20 years. It's been almost 20 years since they have seen Joseph. And so this is something that has blown their minds. And so Joseph says, don't get upset. Don't get angry. And see, this is something that we as believers, we're going to have to learn to not get angry with people. Joseph could have stayed angry with them, but Joseph saw, no, this is God's plan. This is God's plan. And that's what it is. Don't spend your time being angry with people. Don't spend your time being having a spirit of bitterness, a spirit of unforgiveness. No, because God is going to use whatever folks done to you in the past. God is going to use that for your good and for his glory. Yeah, God is going to use that for his good, or for your good and for his glory. Now, let's go on and finish up our lesson. That was Joseph's revelation, Joseph's explanation, but I want you to see Joseph's plan of preservation. Joseph is a quick thinker. He comes up with a plan for preservation to save their life. Look what he says. He's starting with verse 8. Verse 10. He says, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children and thy flock and thy herd and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brothers Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen. Ye shall hasten and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother's Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them, and after that his brothers talk with him. And so you see the plan. Joseph had a plan. His plan was, he said, listen, go on and get daddy, and y'all come on back here. Bring your children, bring your children's children, your grandchildren, bring everything that you got. In other words, y'all need to leave Canaan land. Pick up roots. And come on and stay in Egypt. Because, see, they was going back and forth, getting grain, back and forth from Canaan to Egypt to get some grain. He says, no, because we got 5 more years left. And so, and it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse before it get better. So y'all might as well just come on up here. But notice where they're going to stay. He says, verse 10, and thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. That was the best part of Egypt, because that was a real fertile area. That was close to that Nile River. and things grow. I mean, that was the envy part of Egypt. Everybody wanted that particular area, but Joseph reserved that for his family. And then Joseph went on and he kissed his brother Benjamin first. He kissed his brother Benjamin first. That was his natural brother. Now, how do we know that Joseph not only loved Benjamin, but he loved his other brothers? When he finished kissing Benjamin, he kissed all his other brethren, and he talked with them. That's what the scripture says. And so he started with his natural brother, and then he moved on to all of his stepbrothers. Now, what one lesson can we really learn from this? I think this lesson really teaches us about the providence of God. I believe Romans 8:28 is the verse that is basically dealing with Joseph's life. Romans 8:28, y'all know the verse. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." Think about it. It looked like that God had put Joseph in the wrong family, didn't it? He had a family where 10 of his other brothers hated on him. Then he had three other mama figures in his life. One stepmama and then two other handmaids that acted like stepmamas. I mean, this was a mixed up, messed up family. It just looked like God didn't know what he was doing. Gave him 10 brothers here. These 10 brothers hated on him. Then he ended up in a pit. They sold him. Then he ended up being sold again into Egypt to Potiphar's house. The man that is in charge of Pharaoh's bodyguard, the head man, the head of security, he was blamed by his wife that he was trying to rape her, ended up in prison, stayed there in prison for 2 years, in prison, then get out of prison, and end up being second in command. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that was God. Now, looking at it, it just looked like that his life was messed up. Didn't look like there was any rhyme or reason to his life. But then once this thing started unfolding, you could see, when you look back at it, you could just see the hand of God. That's why Joseph made the statement that he made. You sold me here, but God sent me to preserve life. And so be encouraged. Whatever you're going through today, just remember, we know that all things work together for the good, for those that love the Lord, and for those that are called according to his purpose. And so stay encouraged, my brothers and sisters, and make sure that you attend your Sunday school class and tell somebody that God is still on the throne and his purpose will indeed be fulfilled. All right, that's it for today. Thank you for joining us. Listen to us all day long, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.